The Bible reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 9. Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. We praise God for that rich reading from the book of Isaiah. Good morning. It's still morning, so it's a blessing to be with you today. We're looking at the subject of perfect peace in Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. We read, "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." It's all about the Lord, and it's all about that peace that can come from him. There's the desire for peace. I was hearing a story just yesterday about a man from another country, but he was a celebrity, he was a sporting hero, and he took his own life. And one of his closest friends was commenting to the media, just making the evaluation that he was constantly seeking peace. That is something that is sought in this world. When we consider that need for the absence of conflict, we see it with wars throughout history, and even today we see conflict on the streets, we see road rage and even car park rage, and we see issues that arise throughout this world. We hear and read of terrorist activities, and we say, Lord, may there be an absence of hostility. May there be peace. Home violence. And our hearts ache when we hear of home violence, or we hear of conflict that has occurred within a home. We don't want that, and our desire is for there to be peace. There's inward peace that is sought as well, because we can all seek for that inward peace. Within a stressful society, it can be quite challenging within itself, that peace is sought in our busy daily schedules and challenges, and we have expectations at times. We come home from work and we say, I just want to have some peace, but it's not so much the case, because there may be needs with the children, there may be needs with the neighbour, there'll be, and we say, Lord, if I could only get some peace. And it's the desire it's that which comes. I was reading a book called Overload, Overcoming Overload. It's a title, Pastor Matthews, it's not me. But it was a book on the bookshop. The Fonachers would know about it. It was just called Overcoming Overload. And it was down there in the bookshop just before Christmas, and it was targeted as a Christmas present for Ron. Overcoming Overload. And Steve and Mary Farrar just open up about the, you'd understand this, the pressures of life, the pace of life, the pain of life. Sure, we understand about the pain of life, where in the midst of everything, there can be that tragic accident, or there can be a loss of the business venture, or the loss of savings, or the wayward loved ones, or the failing health, or the terminal condition. And there can be pains that come in our lives, and they word it as the pains of life. But the pressures of life, and they just begin to open up from an American context, but yet it's the same here in Australia as well, just the pressures that are coming to bear upon people in today's world. But the pace of life, and they talk about the three lies, that you can have it all, you deserve it all, and you can do it all. And that pace we seem to generate ourselves, and we're off at a fast rate of knots to meet all the demands that have come about our way. And peace is elusive. Peace escapes because we're so much consumed with that which is before us at this time. And there are words like overwhelmed, overworked, overcommitted, overanxious, overextended, and all those dynamics come into play as a consequence. But sadly, within homes, it can lead to distrust and despair. It can lead to anger and to upset. It can lead to bitterness, comparisons, restlessness. It can just generate all these issues of life, and then we take a step back and realise it's the pace that we have generated and the pressures that are here, and how are we going to cope with these things. And maybe it's something we have to look at a bit more closely later on. Even those words like simplification, which comes out in that book. And maybe that's something in which believers need to just take stock of where they're at and how much they have committed themselves and even their children in the program and the pace, or husbands committed their wives, or wives committed their husbands, and the pace that is generated accordingly. But for today, it's Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." The thought of what is peace, who gives peace, and how can we attain that peace. The word in the Hebrew here in the Old Testament in Isaiah is "that will keep him in perfect peace." And there's no adjective perfect, but it's the word shalom, shalom. It's the word peace, peace. "That will keep him in peace, peace." And it's a grammatical emphasis saying that you've got joy, joy. You've got excitement, excitement. You've got peace, peace. It's a double dose of that peace. It's a perfect peace. Today in Israel, they still use that word commonly because they say shalom to one another. And it's a greeting, and it's a word of peace, because their desire is for the well-being, the completeness, the health, the peace of the person with whom they've made that greeting. It's shalom. Their desire is, in that land of Israel, and especially what you consider the Jewish people have suffered over the years, that is their desire. Shalom. Peace. Peace. At the communion table, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, the Lord Jesus made peace through the blood of the cross. And it's to make one, or bind together, to harmonise, to join. And it is the case when two are in conflict. And whether it's those countries we desire peace, whether it's that the neighbour-to-neighbour issue or the gang issue or the husband-wife issue, we just desire that there may be peace and harmony and that oneness and being brought together. For the nation of Israel, though, here they were entering into the millennial kingdom. And Israel had been restored and converted. And it was a testimony of a strong city, Isaiah chapter 26. That's the primary application of this portion. And just reading back to verse 1 and verse 2, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And in these chapters, 24, 25, 26, 27, it goes like a little apocalypse. You talk about the end times. And chapter 24 is the tribulation upon the earth. And then chapter 25 into chapter 26 opens up this whole millennial blessing that God is working in the nation of Israel. And it's a city that is a strong city. And it's a song of rejoicing that the children of Israel have at this time because they've been restored to the land. And they're there in a state of righteousness as God's people. We read there that they will be kept in perfect peace. And that thought is it's permanent, it's in perfect peace. It's there as a constant. And in that perfect peace will this nation be kept there in the land. In contrast, and if we could look back to chapter 24 and verse 10. And in chapter 24, verse 10, we read about the city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. And here we read not a strong city, not a city of rejoicing, but a city of confusion. In verse 12, it's that city of desolation. It's that city of destruction. You talk about the tale of two cities or the contrast of two cities. No wonder Bunyan wrote about the city of destruction. And we read about the tribulation that shall come upon the earth. And we read of this city, an unnamed city. But it's here as this one that is a city of confusion, broken up with every house shut up, that no man may come in. There's a crying for wine in the streets, all joy is darkened, the mirth of the land is gone. And that element of destruction is upon this city. And it's there where we find one that is in contrast. In verse 3 we read, it's talking about the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. We read in verse 4, the earth mourneth. We read in verse 5, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. We read in verse 6, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. And that city of destruction is before them accordingly. We move on to the next portion now, which is who gives peace? Who gives peace? Before I look at the subject of who gives peace, who gives cool air? I wonder if Benjamin might like to bring the remote and just have a look what's happening with the aircon. Pastor Matthews, are you noticing it as well? It seems to have died, or I hate to use that word. It's not a city of desolation, but there seems to be Jed or someone, are you happy if Benjamin's not there to look at the back one there? I think the remote's outside, or is it working okay near the back? Yeah, I'm not sure. Could you give a hand? Is it working okay in the middle? It is. Okay. Well, it's maybe just the front where it's... Who gives peace? In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, we read that thou, that is God, wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's God who is the giver of peace. And we look back on who is thou. In chapter 5, verse 1, we read, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. It's elevating God, is exalting God, is putting him in the rightful place, because it's God who will give that peace. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And they believe that it's from this portion that we have the hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. It's the Lord Jehovah, it's Yahweh, it's the God of heaven, the self-existent one. And he is the one who gives the peace. It's not we ourselves who generate that peace. It's God, the Rock of Ages, who delivers that peace and gives it unto us. And we say, Lord, may that peace be available. I love that benediction. Now the God of peace that brought again from our dead the Lord Jesus. And it's the God of peace that brought our again from the dead our Lord Jesus. In Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24, there's a benediction, and we'll have this benediction at the close of our service. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And it's that whole thought and prayer that it's God, the God of heaven, Yahweh, that gives that peace. And we cannot find it within ourselves. It's got to come from God. Of the Lord Jesus himself in Isaiah 9:6, we read that he's the wonderful, they shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Peace comes from the Godhead and is delivered unto us by God. We read of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But it's peace as one of those fruits of the Spirit. It's generated by God. God is the giver of peace. And sometimes we seek it in places where there is no peace. But it's God that provides it graciously. How do we attain that peace? We read in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And if we could unpack that for a moment, that mind is stayed on thee, that is on God himself, the very God of heaven. The word mind here in the Hebrew is a form. It's the idea of pottery and something formed. It's that mind, it's that concept, it's that frame, it's that purpose. It's that which is there as the mind. And we read here whose mind, whose purpose, whose function, whose frame, whose concept, whose imagination is stayed on the Lord. And oftentimes it is a battle of the mind, because where will our mind be stayed? Where will we be forming our pottery that's up here? Where is the focus going to be? How will it develop? And where will I ultimately be led within my mind's concept? The word stayed is the word to lean upon or to establish or to put or to stay. And it's where you put your mind. And it's like something being laid. It was used of the priest who would lay his hand on the sacrifice. So it's that mind, that purpose, that concept, that thought. Where is it placed? Is it placed on the Lord? Because that's the thought, that person will be the one who's kept in shalom, shalom, perfect peace. The one whose mind is settled and stable and placed upon the Lord God of heaven. Here we talk about a nation, but in Psalm chapter 112, we read of individuals, but it's that same thought, because we read in Psalm 112, 7 and 8, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies." So this one is not afraid even of evil tidings. We say, "Lord, I don't want to hear evil tidings." But the one whose heart is fixed, who is trusting in the Lord, whether evil tidings come or not, your heart is fixed. Your mind is stayed on the Lord. And if your mind is stayed on the Lord, whatever evil tidings come, your mind is focused upon Jesus Christ and the Lord God of heaven. Your heart is established, and the heart is that all-inclusive, including the mind. And sometimes there's that interplay between them both. But it's that mind, that heart, that is focused, that is fixed upon the Lord and for his glory. And it's settled and it's stable, and I'm not going to be rocked. That verse, Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm thy God. I will help thee, yea, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee." And if there be evil tidings, hold in there and look to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Pastor Matthew's read Psalm 4, 1 to 7 this morning. And providentially, he stopped at verse 8. My granddaughter Brielle, it's her favourite verse. And I gave it to her the day that she was off for the preparatory work for surgery, and she had to go in the day before for the preparations. And I shared that verse with her, and Psalm 4:8 is, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me to dwell in safety." I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And she said to me, "But Papa, that's my favourite verse." And I reflected back to her that she gave it to me about 4 or 5 years ago. She gave it to me. She was there in a new home. She was in a new room. It was all the dynamics of a new room, new house, a young primary age girl. And she had focused on, "I can lay my head down on that pillow and sleep in peace, for it's the Lord that makes me to dwell safely." She knew that very principle, and she remembered back to that Psalm 4 and verse 8. My mum gave me a verse when I went into surgery several years ago, and I thought, I don't need that verse. But my mum gave me a verse, and it was Psalm 56:3. Wasn't the same one, and my mum's never given me a verse before or hasn't subsequent, but she gave it to me. And it was Psalm 56:3, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." And I was thinking, do you think I'm going to be afraid, Mum? But it was, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." I didn't say that, by the way. I didn't say that. But you know how your mind has thoughts. It was my third hernia surgery, and I knew what was coming. And I knew what was coming. My blood pressure is normally beautiful. But this day, I was prepared for surgery. We were there in a room, we're all waiting, we'd all been prepared. And I was told by a nurse that you'll be next after this one. So in other words, I'll be the next cab after this one. Hours went by. This one went, this one went, this one went. And Lonesome Ron was still sitting in that waiting room, prepared for surgery, waiting to go, being told that I would be the next cab to go, and I was waiting. And they checked my blood pressure before I went, and it was high. And the nurse said, look, it's understandable, we understand. But it's the dynamics of life, but what time I'm afraid I will trust in thee. You need to just trust the Lord, whatever comes about within your lives. It's being careful for nothing, that is being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts in Christ Jesus. And it's all about being kept in the Lord. What time? I'm afraid, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's all about just knowing that guarantee from the Lord, because he's the giver of peace. And it's not your self-confidence. It's not your self-assertiveness. It's not your dominance. It's not your control. It's not your ability. It's your trust in the Lord, and he will keep you in perfect peace. We saw a series by Jim Berg, and it was talking about the farmers. And there was a controlling farmer who just wanted to do everything, and he wanted it his way. But yet he can come undone when things don't work out the way that he has controlled. Because God providentially brings things in our way that are different, and we need to be that trusting farmer, or the trusting Christian, the trusting believer. We're walking and honouring the Lord in all that we do. And our trust has to be in the Rock of Ages. The storm on the sea, and the disciples were afraid, and they woke the Lord, and he responded by saying, peace, be still. And the waves and the wind were stilled. God is the giver of peace. And we've got to see that it's not ourselves, it's God. And we've got to let go and just let God bring about that peace. It's that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's our mind, it's our focus, it's our concept focused upon the Lord. And in a selfish world, there's always that danger of focusing upon self and protecting self and looking at self. And we lose that peace. There was King David, and I often reflect back to Psalm 51 verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And David had lost his joy and gladness. And for that 12 months when he was covering his sin with Bathsheba and the conspiracy that he'd put Uriah out into the front of the battle so that his life would be taken, tantamount to causing his death. And David was living with that. And when it was exposed and he made it right, he said, Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness. Create in me a clean heart, O God. He wanted to get right with God. And we can lose our peace if we so focus upon self. It can be just with anger or with retaliation or bitterness. It can be that we've got our focus upon that person or that situation or that providential thing that has come about in my life at this time. We say, Lord, why now? The question is, are you judging God by saying, Lord, why now? God brings things to pass, and we need to say, Lord, I want to focus upon you and I want to trust. And even if evil tidings come, I say, Lord, I want my mind to be on the Lord. If we put our mind upon the flesh, we'll begin to think the flesh. If we put our focus on ambition, we'll think ambition. will focus upon those things that, and we need to put, that will keep him in perfect peace. So it's God who provides the peace, and it's to the one whose mind is stayed on the Lord. And we need to say, Lord, in whatever thing I can do, I just want to put aside self-interest, self-gain. I just want to just put my heart. I was thinking about that pace of life and the pain of life and the pressure of life. And I was thinking that even there, that our concept, our focus, putting our, having it stayed on the Lord, we've all got to look within our own families to look at that which we can cope today or in this hour or in this minute, and look at the total situation and focus upon that which is the priority of the hour and that which will bring forth glory to God and to the honour and the praise of his name. Just in closing, I was blessed to read just a little thought from Oswald Chambers in his devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest. But it's the verse, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." And it's John 14:27. By the way, we didn't have a chance to read all of those verses on peace, but there are many. And it's a blessing to just focus upon that subject of peace. But there's that bequest of peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And it's God's peace that he gives. Oswald Chambers writes on the 26th of August, "Are you ever disturbed? Are you painfully disturbed just now, distracted by the waves and billows of God's providential permission, and having, as it were, turned over the boulders of your belief? Are you still finding no well of peace or joy or comfort? Is all barren? Then look up and receive the undisturbedness of the Lord Jesus. Reflected peace is the proof that you are right with God, because you're at liberty to turn your mind to him. If you are not right with God, you can never turn your mind anywhere but on yourself. If you allow anything to hide the face of Jesus Christ from you, you are either disturbed or you have a false security. Are you looking unto Jesus now in the immediate manner that is pressing and receiving from him peace? If so, he will be a gracious benediction of peace in and through you. But if you try to worry it out, you obliterate him and deserve all you receive. We get disturbed because we have not been considering him. When one confers with Jesus Christ, the perplexity goes, because he has no perplexity, and our only concern is to abide in him. Lay it all before him, and in the face of difficulty, bereavement, and sorrow, hear him say, 'Let not your heart be troubled.'" Just a wonderful message and a wonderful concluding thought. May our minds be all stayed on the Lord. Let's pray, shall we? Loving Father, we just pray that we may take on board that whole thought of one who receives that perfect peace from the Lord. But we realise that there's a condition here. It's the one whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And if our minds are out there in the flesh, in the world, in self-ambition, then, Father, we are going to be disturbed and troubled. Our thoughts will not be Christward. There will be that turmoil and that conflict and that lack of peace. Father, we just pray for peace. Father, we pray for that broader peace for Jerusalem and throughout the world. Father, we pray for the absence of hostility within homes. Father, even on our streets. But Father, we know that the answer is in Jesus Christ and in people hearing and receiving his blessed message. But for us today, as we consider this whole thought of spiritual peace, of peace of mind and peace of heart, Father, how we pray that we may each have our minds stayed on thee, so that, Father, you are our focus and that you are our guide, and you will direct and lead concerning every priority and every response, and that godliness, that fruit of the Spirit, will come forth from our very being. Father, if someone's here without Jesus Christ, we pray that that one would understand that peace must come through knowing Jesus Christ as Saviour. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that if someone is here without Christ this morning, that one will flee unto him and ask someone afterward how to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as Saviour. Father, minister to our hearts, we pray, for your glory and honour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.